Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Today we're doing something different and following the readings for the Feast of St. Michael and All Angels, also known as Michaelmas, celebrated each year on this day, the 29th of September. I decided to do this because we don't often talk about angels, and today is the appropriate day to do so. I'll start the sermon by speaking about angels in general, and then we'll look at today's reading from Revelation in particular. The angels are spiritual beings created by God to serve him. We don't know exactly how many angels there are, but the Bible often speaks of hosts or legions of angels, or thousands upon thousands, so there must be quite a few. As we read in Revelation chapter 12, not all the angels remained faithful to God after creation, but a third rebelled and were driven from heaven, becoming the demons. While angels are sometimes called cherubim, only two are specifically named in the canonical books of the Bible, Gabriel and Michael. The leader of the demons is referred to as Satan, which comes from the Hebrew word for accuser or adversary, descriptions of his fundamental nature. The English term angel comes from the Greek word angelos, which literally means messenger. This describes one of the primary roles of angels. They are God's messengers, communicating his word to human beings. For example, we think of the angel Gabriel bringing Mary news that she would give birth to Jesus in Luke chapter 1. The other main role of the angels is to fight against evil and protect God's people. While the Bible doesn't explicitly say that we each have a personal guardian angel, there are certainly verses that show God sends his angels to protect his people in times of need. Finally, while angels are mighty beings, they are not to be worshipped. According to Revelation, we are to consider angels as fellow servants of God, with whom we will one day gather around the heavenly throne to worship him. That's the perspective of angels that I want to focus on in today's sermon. Angels are God's messengers, bringing to us the hope of heaven, particularly as revealed in our reading from Revelation chapter 12. Then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil, or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury, because he knows that his time is short. Before we continue, let's pray. Lord, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Just over a year ago, Pastor Andrew Brooke was installed as the new bishop of our district, succeeding Pastor David Altus. Shortly afterwards, in his first newsletter to us, Bishop Andrew wrote an article with the tagline, "Times may be challenging, but this is the best time for hope to shine." Times may be challenging, but this is the best time for hope to shine. Some of the reasons Bishop Andrew gave for why the times are challenging included accelerating societal changes, identity politics, changing views on human sexuality, polarization of politics, and the relegation of faith to the sidelines. Expanding on that last point, Bishop Andrew wrote, "Churches in societies like Australia find ourselves in an unfamiliar and uncomfortable place. The general public doesn't listen to our voice like they once did. People speak against us or just ignore us. We feel that we don't make the kind of impact that we once did, and we feel disheartened." Bishop Andrew truly came into leadership of our church at a challenging time, and not just due to challenges outside the church. Judging by the agendas of pastors' conference and synod, the former starting this afternoon, challenges are growing within the church as well. And such challenges are not reserved for bishops or even pastors and synod delegates. I expect all of you experience some of these challenges at least some of the time. And even if you didn't face challenges from outside yourself, either from the church or the world, I am sure that, like me, you experience many challenges arising from within. You experience struggles with temptation or sadness, doubt or despair, struggles arising from your sinful human nature. So yes, the Christian life is full of challenges from without and within. But this is nothing new. We see it also, for example, at the start of Revelation, where an exiled apostle, John, wrote to churches facing many challenges. In Revelation chapter 1, we read, "I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus." John was suffering through exile on Patmos, and yet he didn't write Revelation to complain about the challenges he was facing. Neither was John writing to helplessly commiserate with a suffering church. Rather, John wrote to share with his contemporaries and with us here today a vision of heaven revealed to him by Jesus himself. A vision of the past, present, and future that brings hope to all who love God. Hope that we need as much today as in John's time. Hope in the face of challenges. Ironically, at first glance, our reading from Revelation 12 doesn't appear very hopeful, does it? Especially when it finishes with words of woe. "Woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury, because he knows that his time is short." Those words of woe were an accurate reflection of their original context, because many of the Christians John wrote to were being persecuted for their faith, even to the point of death. And although we may not experience martyrdom for our faith, those words of woe help explain why the church today continues to face challenges from the world and from itself. The great dragon, the ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the world astray, has been defeated and cast from heaven, and he's not happy about it. So in his fury, he thrashes about, seeking to cause as much harm to God's people as he can before he is silenced forever. He does this not only by manipulating the world into physically persecuting the church of God, but also by causing conflict within the church. And on a personal level, he causes us grief by accusing us before God because of our sins. This means that even if we don't face challenges from without, we will definitely face challenges from within as we struggle with guilty consciences. And yet, despite this bleak outlook for life on earth, Christians can have hope. As Bishop Andrew alluded to in his article, it is when things are darkest that our hope shines brightest. The biblical perspective, which reveals the inevitability of our suffering, also reveals the inevitability of our hope. Sandwiched between the account of the devil's expulsion from heaven and his fury on earth is the reason our hope as Christians does not disappoint. It is a hope won for us by our Lord Jesus Christ by his death on the cross. In Revelation 12, we hear, "I heard a loud voice in heaven say, 'Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them." This is the hope that has kept Christians going for the last 2,000 years. God didn't just cast Satan and his demons out of heaven to plague the earth forever, but he sent his Son to put an end to the rebellion forever. On the cross, Jesus defeated sin, death, and the power of the devil once and for all. Now anyone who trusts in Jesus in this life can look forward to heaven in the next, eternal life free of the suffering and challenges we now experience. John describes our future like this in Revelation chapter 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." That is the hope that keeps us struggling on through this life. But wait, there's more. Our hope is not just a future promise of peace and freedom from sin in heaven, but it is a hope of peace and freedom from sin right now. Although it's true that our hope will only be fully realized in the future, we are already sharing in Christ's victory. Through God's word and sacraments, we are daily forgiven, encouraged, and strengthened for the struggle. The blood of the Lamb washes our sins away and allows us to stand before God with clean consciences. And through the ministrations of God's angelic servants, we are protected from the fury of the devil. While Satan can still accuse and harass us, he can no longer truly hurt us. This means that joy in life is possible for Christians, even in the midst of challenges and suffering. Even though we are not yet in heaven, we can rejoice with those who dwell there, not least when we gather in God's presence at the altar rail during Holy Communion. There we receive a foretaste of the heavenly feast that sustains us throughout the rest of the week as we go about witnessing to God's faithfulness in the midst of struggle. Joy in life is possible regardless of what happens in the world, in the church, or in our personal circumstances, because our Lord Jesus is reigning over heaven and earth and has everything, including us, in his care. And so this Michaelmas, I encourage you to rejoice in God's angels and the message they bring. Because of our Lord Jesus, whom the angels serve, you can be filled with the hope of heaven, a living hope that will sustain you through all the challenges of life until you see the reason for your hope revealed in all his glory. Amen. Given today's theme, it's appropriate to finish with Luther's morning prayer. So please join me in speaking the words on the screen. I thank you, Heavenly Father, through your dear Son, Jesus Christ, that you have protected me through the night from all harm and danger. I ask you to keep me this day too from all sin and evil, so that in all my thoughts, words, and deeds, I may please you. In your hands I place my body and soul and all that is mine. Let your holy angel be with me, so that the evil one may have no power over me. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.